Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. It is easy to forget the current federal government is not just about the party leaders. While a majority of attention focuses on them, local candidates should play an essential role when voting. At least that's the theory. Yet with all the American tariffs and threats to Canada, it is understandable. Still, there are local issues. Qualifications, affordability, housing, and more is vital. So is asking direct questions about how local candidates will serve the residents of the Northumberland-Clark riding. Here is the fourth and final candidate interview. It is with Green Party candidate Christina Marie Wilson. The order of the airing is determined by when the campaign scheduled their interviews. The Green Party was fourth. I'm so pleased to have with me today Christina Marie Wilson, the Green Party candidate for Northumberland Clark. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you very much, Robert. I'm happy to be back with you 4 years later.
I was just about to mention that. You were a federal candidate in 2021. But for those who may not remember you, let's refresh everyone's memory. Who is Christina Marie Wilson?
Oh, Christina Marie Wilson is a granddaughter of farmers, a mother of two wonderful, amazing children that go to school in Cobourg. Oh, my daughter's laughing at me in the background. That's hilarious. My 10-year-old won the junior girls basketball tournament yesterday. Pretty proud of her. Pretty proud, mama. I'm an elementary school teacher, heavily involved in the union. I'm the incoming vice president female for the local teachers union. I've been vice president of the occasional teachers in the past. And just very dedicated to student learning and helping young readers to learn how to read.
Where do you live within the community? You mentioned where your kids go to school. Where do you live?
Yes. So the kids split their time between Cobourg and Grafton. My current house is in Grafton, just off the 401. Have about 26 acres of lovely protected land, mostly underwater in swamp or surrounded by trees. So we can go for a nice hike through the trees right off of Cranberry Lake.
What made you decide to run?
You know, the first time around, I was convinced by Jeff Wheeldon, the previous candidate. He's a mentor to me and really convinced me to switch to the Green Party in the first place. And I was on his team in a supporting role. And it wasn't until the following election when we learned he wasn't running again for personal reasons that it came down to last minute. We didn't have a candidate. And my team did convince me that I have what it takes. And now 4 years later, I've actually had a very large amount of leadership training from the Provincial Elementary Teachers Federation of Ontario. And it's just given me even more tools, more self-confidence to be up here speaking and in front of the public for the future. And when it comes to the Green Party, to me, climate is one of the biggest issues. There is no planet B. I want a future for my children and the children that I teach.
We'll come to talk about issues very, very soon. But before we do that, how do you relax?
How do I relax? Oh, a nice hot bath and the occasional glass of wine. It never goes wrong. Absolutely. I like to read a good book and spend time with my children, of course. Absolutely. They are my sunshine. And any day that I'm having a rough day, going home and getting hugs from those two just make my day wonderful.
I've asked everybody this question, and I'm not going to miss you. What is your guilty pleasure?
Guilty pleasure. Chickens and plants. Chickens, I can't stop buying really fun chickens that lay really fun colored eggs and wonderful new plants. Every year, the goal is to have something fun and new that's a new flower that I'm learning the name of that is added to the garden. I mean, we do grow our own vegetables as well, but I jokingly say I help Dad with the vegetables. He occasionally helps me with the flowers when push comes to shove.
Let's talk about the issues now. There is no doubt tariffs and affordability continue to be top of mind for Canadians at this point. And much of the attention on the campaign is directed towards which leader can best lead us in this time. What makes you, not your leader, but you, qualified to be sent to Ottawa to deal with these issues?
Well, there's a couple of factors on that one. One, I'd say I'm an individual who stems from a family that has been in the riding for six or seven generations. You know, my six times removed great grandparents came over from Scotland and helped start the town of Grafton. And I think they've been pillars of the community. They've been role models for me. I'm a person of the community. I know the people that are here and I'm an excellent listener. You know, there are days I think I should have gone into counseling or something. I am happy to talk to people about what the issues are and learn what the items are. And as mentioned before, I've had lots of training in the last 4 years and about union leadership, but also about bargaining. I have negotiation training. I have been at the table twice locally with the school board negotiating contracts for our collective agreement and our elementary school teachers.
That all sounds great and would make you, in normal circumstances, a very valuable candidate. But these times are very different. And there's a lot of different factors going on, especially with the tariffs and, of course, affordability being such an issue close to everybody's heart. How does all of that, which you just described, apply directly to dealing with this particular moment in time?
Okay. Well, I would say, for one thing, I see the issues that are there of our people right now here in our riding. I have had a lot of conversations in the last couple of weeks with members at the all candidates meetings who have approached me afterwards with their specific concerns. And it's been great to have those conversations and learn what each individual's concerns are going forward. And I think that I can be a voice. I'm a fighter. I am willing to stand up for everybody and make sure that their voices are heard. Too often our rural communities get left behind. And I know that firsthand. And in my own experience, you know, trying to afford the housing issues, I have had to research Ontario building codes to make sure that our property is up to standard to be able to have multiple families living on one property. I know the red tape that we have to go through. I have researched many different housing projects just to make sure that my own family is housed. And I know what some of the issues are going forward.
If you were elected, historically, your party has not exerted a lot of power. What would you do to make sure that you were heard representing Northumberland Clark?
Well, first of all, I would like to say that Elizabeth May is a model that I would stand up and to represent. And I actually heard her speak this week. And one of the things she said is that very often, even though she's one of the few Green Party members that are up there speaking, she is one of the members of parliament that is most often at the microphone. So you can see that as that one individual standing up, sometimes it takes us to be a louder voice and making sure that we're at the microphone more often and addressing the issues. Also, I would say that I am a team player. I know that there being a smaller party, especially with having fewer representatives, it takes a lot of teamwork. It takes some give and take to learn what the important bills are going forward and how they are going to benefit our local community.
One of the ways the Green Party is suggesting Canada deal with tariffs is the issuing of savings bonds to shore up strategic resources. Can you tell us how that would work?
Well, within the Green Party itself, we are captioning that economic sovereignty. And it's the idea of using those crown corporations to actually buy up the goods, the raw products, like the raw unprocessed logs, and having our own storehouse of them, and actually then creating the infrastructure using those crown corporations to give loans to people to create new factories that would then take that raw product and build it into something that's usable that we could actually sell for a higher amount overseas, rather than the example of we sell the raw product and guess what? We get it back in a different form across borders again, almost doubling the tariffs if you want to think of it that way. We need to go back to a time before NAFTA and actually create our own factories here in Canada and creating jobs for more people so that we can actually build our economy from the base up and be more reliant on ourselves again.
I appreciate your answer very, very much, but that's not quite what I was asking. I was going to ask that later, but that's fine. What I was asking about is this plan to issue Savings Canada bonds. Can you explain how that approach is going to work?
I cannot talk to that one at this time. I'm going to be honest that the Green Party just dropped its full platform last night, and the bonds is not something that I am extremely knowledgeable about. It is something absolutely every single MP, we have to learn from the ground up, and we have to learn as these things go forward. And that is not one of my fortes, but something I'm absolutely willing to learn more about.
Tax relief is a common theme in this election. Your party is offering to raise the basic amount of income that can be earned tax-free from $16,000 to $40,000. That would mean anyone earning less than $100,000 a year would get about $3,600 back at tax time. Why is that a good idea?
It's a good idea with the idea that the basic income has changed over time. No longer can any, even $40,000 is actually really quite low to be considered a livable income. Families cannot live off one person making $40,000 anymore and still afford housing. You can't buy a house with that amount of income. It's absolutely impossible to have a house, to have groceries, to put gas in your car, afford a phone and electricity. So, I mean, this is a necessary step forward. For too long, that base level has not been changed, and it's about time that we bring it up. And actually, I believe the Green Party is looking at a flexible number for future that as that increases over time, it will continue to change.
When you do the math on this, it's about $70 a week that people would be getting back, or maybe $2,800 a month. How much of a difference do you think that's going to make for people living in Northumberland when you consider the cost of rent, the cost of groceries, the cost of gas, just living?
Just living, that's the cost of rent. So that's a month's rent right there, combined with groceries and about three tanks of gas in my books.
So is that substantial? Is that not? I mean, I'm just wondering if that's a really big impact when you think about it over a year and how much it's going to help families.
I think it's a great deal, especially if you're looking at double incomes, right? If you actually have two adults living in the house that is able to make that income, I think over time it absolutely adds up and is more than the other parties are promising.
There's a lot of talk about what governing parties will do if elected to deal with affordability. Yet experience tells us that grocery prices never go down. What is your party going to do specifically to lower the cost of groceries?
I believe the push there is more to invest in our local farms and agriculture and actually making the food more available here in Canada. Of course, you know, you can't look at things like oranges that don't actually grow in our own country. And myself, I don't know about you, if you've tried to buy orange juice in the last couple of weeks, but I cannot believe how much a container of orange juice has gone up. And maybe it's time we cut those things out of our diet that just aren't in our own country. Apple juice has just as much vitamin C. Why aren't we investing more in apple juice that is actually produced by our own country? In fact, this area is huge for apples. So we need to remember, I think, go back to what is available here and really push to buy local and actually putting money back into those farms and preserving farmland.
We talked about this earlier. I'll just come back to it briefly, but your party's response to the tariffs sounded a lot like other parties. And, you know, you're calling for improvements to domestic manufacturing, and you explained that very, very well. But also part of that is your party is calling for the investment of money from the Canada Pension Plan. Now, there are a lot of seniors living in Northumberland who depend on the Canada Pension Plan and the OAS to live. Investment involves risk. Why is this a good strategy?
Economics. Oh, Robert, you had to go into economics, didn't you? Is that a forte of yours? Do you have an economics background? I am a science major. I am a microbiologist background who decided to go the route of becoming an elementary school teacher. And I have to admit, when it comes to economics, I do rely on my own team for educating me more on that background. So, I mean, I have some great ideas and concepts, but I don't believe it's exactly what you want to hear or based on the party platform for this one.
Your party is calling for the creation of a National Civil Defense Corps. Can you explain what this is and how it would work?
The National Civil Defense Corps is the concept of actually having a, let's see, how do I word this? We need to be able to respond to emergencies at any cost. So we already have a good basis for that, but too often it's too little too late. We don't have the support and resources that we do have some. I had a great conversation with a woman whose husband works out of the Trenton Air Base, and they do have certainly a special organization through the Trenton Air Base that is there and ready for emergency preparedness. So I guess the concept of the Civil Defense Corps is improving upon that, expanding on that, and making sure that those are available in every community as well, that as fires and floods happen, as our climate changes and we have more extreme weather. The recent ice storm is a great example that all of that is available for every community to access. And it's and is there and can respond in really quick time.
The Green Party is calling for more spending in the arts to protect Canadian culture. It wants to return the Canadian Council of Arts budget to 2021 levels of $500 million and to support the CBC. Why is this a priority in the face of so many other pressures on the federal budget?
It's a priority because I see the CBC and I see the amount of arts that it pushes. It pushes the Canadian artists across. And you know, there's no other media organization that does that. And I think it's really important to hear those Canadian voices. Too often we see what's mainstream, what is our pop culture, and really highlighting those. And it's the last true Canadian media stream. Everything else has been bought out by the states. And believe it or not, I mean, people think it's biased because it's owned by the government, but it had, what's the word I'm looking for? It's non-biased and it really gives a lot of voices to many Canadians. It's nonpartisan, despite what people think about something that is owned by the government. And I just absolutely love listening to it myself. I listen to the my favorite podcast is the it's the environmental based one that I can't think of the name of right now. But yeah, that's where I do a lot of my learning and keep in touch with the pulse of what's happening environmentally within Canada. And I also love listening to the Indigenous voices and learning about some of the Indigenous music that's being produced across Canada. And that's not going to happen unless we maintain and keep that. It needs to be reorganized a little bit, but I absolutely think we need to get our funding back into that.
I want to talk a bit about environment for a while. Contrary to other parties, the Green Party is calling for more rigorous assessment of fossil fuel development. When the country is looking for energy security and there are proposals being offered that include an east-west pipeline, why is this a good idea at this time?
Well, for one thing, I mean, the Green Party has always been about getting away from fossil fuels. It is a slow and just transition, but we are not supporting that pipeline. It's, I mean, if it hasn't been built yet, the Green Party does not support investing any more funds in fossil fuels. It should be retraining the people in the fossil fuel industry into new technologies, putting money into science and creation. We are behind the times. China and many European countries like Germany have building codes where solar panels are being added to houses right off the up, right when they're built brand new, so that they're being added to the energy grid. This can happen too. We know how to build houses. We just need to change a few regulations to make sure that we are reinvesting into that technology. And it could be creating brand new jobs. It could be completely getting rid of fossil fuels and phasing them out over time.
With all the chaos economically, the tariffs, changing global order, all of this seems to absorb all of our attention, and sustainability and environmental issues have fallen to the wayside. Why is it so important that we need to keep talking about environmental issues, sustainability, in the face of so many other things that are going on that demand our attention?
Well, for one thing, we are in the middle of a climate crisis. Canada, depends on the way you look at it, we are the 12th largest greenhouse gas producer. But if you look at per capita, we are actually up there near the top. When you compare the number of people that actually live in this large, glorious country of ours, it's kind of abysmal how much greenhouse gas we are still producing, and we can do better, absolutely. And now I want to turn about why in today's troubled time we should think about that. A, we can look at how the weather has been changing and the climate crisis, or the big storms that have been happening can all boil down to it. Our farmers are being affected as their crops don't have the regular weather that they expect. They're not having the production that they need to have in order to become sustainable. And we need to stay up with those times and reinvest in the science of that to help our country grow and prosper.
Agriculture is the largest industry in Northumberland County. Does your party support supply management? Because this is one area which has been targeted by the Americans.
I wouldn't direct it so much as supply management. I think we need to relook at the model of supply management, how it's done. And we need to be investing again. We can be using those crown corporations to invest in organizations. And actually, I've heard one of my cohorts say this. I won't admit to which one, although I'm sure they'll figure it out, of the concept that we grow these soybeans and then the soybeans are then sold across the border only to be turned into soybean powder and then resold back to us. So certainly there's something wrong with this model happening, and that's something that we can fix going forward in the future and investing in our farms and making sure that any sort of supply management model that we have starts with Canada and within Canada. We need to be looking at the cross-border trades between the provinces and the territories before we're looking south and selling to more reliable trade partners.
I appreciate your answer, but how about a simple yes or no? Does your party support supply management?
I would say as a general rule, yes, they do support supply management.
Late last year, there was a public meeting regarding a potential sale of 1,600 acres of prime agricultural land to a developer located between Port Hope and Cobourg. Farmers and others have expressed multiple times the significance of saving farmland from development in Northumberland. What is your party's position in terms of preserving agricultural land from development?
So there is actually a policy on this one that the Green Party is looking at. And what we're looking at is tracking the farmland within the municipalities and starting basically a logbook, I guess you could say, of what is there and what the municipalities can preserve, and doing our best to help the municipalities at that level to make sure that it is not, that certain farmland, of course, is protected and not taken over by the provinces, because we're just going to continue going down the road of food insecurities if this keeps happening. We need to build up, not out.
Well, speaking of housing, one of the challenges locally is affordable housing. Now, listeners will want to know, what do you see as necessary to help people in Northumberland specifically to create affordable housing units?
There's a couple of ways we can look at that. One is that concept, again, of using the crown corporations of buying the raw product and actually getting back into the business of building homes. We need the companies around locally that are going to do that. That being said, I was having a wonderful conversation with a gentleman last night at the Port Hope Chamber event. Dawn with the Ontario Realtors Association was telling me, a wonderful company in Quebec that is already making strides in building your prefab homes that can be moved and put right into place. They're a lot cheaper. They have a particular model. If we can make sure that they are also environmentally sound and reducing heat exchange when they're built, that would definitely be a very green model going forward. So whether we're buying from Quebec or taking that model and trying to build those factories within our own community to build those homes, we also need to be looking at the design of homes. We need to be encouraging the provincial building codes to change to allow more quadplexes, more secondary homes within bigger properties like my own. That's certainly an issue that I've faced in the last few years of making sure. Researching and looking at those building codes has been a part of my life for the last couple of years.
Homelessness is an ongoing issue locally and a very divisive one in Northumberland. What does your party hope to do to help people living rough?
Well, one of them is that guaranteed livable income, of making sure that no one is left behind. That is one. And the other really quick answer is the umbrella of health. You're looking at not just having universal health care as the model is set now, but reinvesting back into pharmacare and dental care, but also mental health care. And I think a lot of the people who are homeless face a lot of addictions and mental health issues that there aren't the supports in place, certainly not the public ones. Private, sure, if you want to pay out $10,000 to try and get a six-week session to try and work on your addictions.
You mentioned very quickly their guaranteed income. Can you explain how that would work?
That model's been researched for a while, and the basic concept would be that anyone living under a certain income, and I don't have those numbers in front of me right at the moment, but that anyone living in that low income bracket would always have an income. So it's similar to the concept of old age security, if you will, or disability. That concept of that they're getting an amount every single month that will help ensure that they can afford rent and basic needs.
How would you address encampments in Northumberland?
That is a hard one. My heart goes out to this one because I recently saw a Facebook post last night on how there was a group sort of associated with the Greenwood Coalition that had built two of the cabins for homeless. And sad to see that they couldn't get a decision in Northumberland on where to put those, because none of the local subdivisions, there were too many problems that nobody wants them next door. Nobody wants to put up homelessness where in their backyard. And that's a really hard decision, right? So I really hope that that can change. I hope that we could see what's happening in Peterborough and use that model and see how it's working. It might take a few years. Maybe we need to see how it is working in Peterborough before we bring it down to Northumberland.
Does your party support safe injection sites?
Absolutely, yes. I think that's a necessary one going forward. We need to do what we can to help people who face addictions. And you can't just cut people off. I'm sorry. There's health concerns with, you know, they could have a heart attack when they go off their meds. So absolutely.
Where would you locate one in Northumberland?
That would take a lot of care and research. And I know that there are individuals within the municipality that have already done a lot of background research on those sites. But yes, you're going to get backlog again from people, and nobody wants it in their backyard, right? So where would we put that? Certainly right around the hospital would be one of the best sites for sure, because you know the hospital is right there. But there's so many possibilities, and I'd have to talk to the local municipal councillors who have already sat on those teams to get their feedback on that one.
Your party's website says Elizabeth May, the party's co-leader, is holding a 41% lead in her riding, contrary to other polling. How many seats besides hers do you think the Green Party will win in this election?
I know of one other for sure that they're really pushing for, so that gives us at least two. It would be lovely to see a third. I would love to see if Jonathan Benoit could get his seat as well. And there's one more in BC I know that we're key on. There are certainly some areas on the East Coast as well that are strong green communities, and we're just going to have to wait and see what happens.
You've run twice for your party in Northumberland. Local polling from 338canada.com shows you are expected to get around 3-4% of the vote. Why did you choose to run again in the face of such odds?
You know what? The green voice needs to still be out there. I know it's a losing cause, but also, you know, I hope that I can get some of those votes from people who are still sitting on the fence or who do not like the two-party system. The fact that we have two such crazy strong parties is too much like the Americans, and it gives another spot for votes to go. It also makes the people think about the climate. The climate is still out there and real, and I can be that voice in the election. And I do hope that will change. And I will certainly push whoever gets in to try and change the first past the post system so that people can actually choose to vote green and it can actually matter.
We've had some pretty lovely weather lately. If you are sitting in someone's backyard, and you had 30 seconds to talk to them. They're an undecided voter. What would you say to them in 30 seconds to convince them to give you their vote?
30 seconds. Do they have children? Do their children matter to them? There is no planet B. We are in the middle of a climate crisis. Our planet is burning, and we need to take big strides in order to make that happen. In fact, a lot of the affordability issues that we see today and food insecurities are caused by the climate crisis. And we need to do what we can in order to make sure our children have a future.
Christina Marie Wilson, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you very much, Robert, for the chance to speak on your show. I really appreciate it.
That was Green Party candidate Christina Marie Wilson. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.